is approved, if one is approved, that seems to be better than that, but even about that, that that. Secondly, I think the last 7 years was in the form of the newspaper as a general manager, and had that experience of typically financial viability, the people who have sustainability and financial viability for the four communities, and also as working in that area, having to look at all sorts of different ways to diversify income and to take on the digital and sustainable media sector. So that print media converges extensively with digital radio in order to create a generation of information and generate information. I've worked with critical ratios, particularly in terms of print cost benefit analysis, cost benefit efficiency, and also looking at alternative income streams, not only about income viability, but also in terms of social editorial, funded editorial, which would help create space for voices. So that's in terms of some of what I've been doing today.
Thank you very much, member. Honorable Reverend Don.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Monta Kondi from the IFP. Let's say, what do you think are the critical challenges that are facing the MDDA at this point in time, and what do you think you should bring on board if you are to be successful through this interview? What would be your most critical contribution?
I think that MDDA has a very broad mandate, a very ambitious mandate. It's very difficult thing to achieve any of those things that have been set out for it. The development of the MDDA is always ongoing every time, and then it's in the process of I think that, and I need my glasses, if I need to come back. I'm used to being a speaker, so I must be supporting to run a meeting. I have to talk loudly. I think the thing that saves the MDDA at the moment is the need to consolidate. I think after 7 years in the organization, and I see this in my own organization, it's been setting the foundation to go to take that the need to do some period of consolidation. And my understanding from what my reading has seen is that there certainly needs to be some movement around increased funding. 20 million is not sufficient to do what it is that the MDDA wishes to do, and is mandated to do. I think there are also advocacy issues, again, because we're an organization of 7 years. I think one spends a lot of time on developing your systems, implementing things, trying to find out your first issue. Or implementing your first program, and advocacy and marketing in a sense becomes a secondary, I know it's an important issue, but it is a secondary issue in some sense, and I think that needs now to be developed further, the advocacy role for the commercial media and also for the MDDA itself. I think the other thing that needs looking at, I've seen a recruitment of the MDDA this year. It is a very exciting project. I think one of the things that needs to be looked at again is systems, but that's always an issue for the organization. And it seems to me too that there might be issues of shortages of staff, not because Liverpool is a piece of it, but it requires people to implement what it is that people need to do. So that's what I'm saying, the issues are facing the MDA at the moment.
Thank Thank you, Honorable Michael.
Hello, my name is Natasha and I'm from the DA. I'm very interested in what you say about the funding not being enough and needing more funding. Now, funding is always a problem. Everyone always needs money. What would you do with what you have? In other words, you say that some of the systems are lacking. In your opinion, what systems are lacking and how can these systems be improved? I'm thinking mainly about bureaucratic systems, how difficult it is in terms of administration. I know from the last speaker we had the same kind of issue. I don't know how we make systems or how we make bureaucratic procedures both retain integrity but at the same time be accessible for the kind of people you're actually trying to fund. So the small places like ours, and ours is a village, I come from Grahamstown. I work in Grahamstown, but I work in Eastern Cape and I'm also at the Eastern Cape Communication Forum. And there are newspapers, I consider us small, but there are newspapers with far less resources than ours and far less far fewer skills than ours and who need far more assistance in just being able to fill in forms, for example, and to be able to do those kind of things. I know the NBDA does have some work in terms of business plans and mentoring. I just want to work for as a mentor for the NBDA and appreciate it. But the map team has done quite a lot in simplifying the systems and they have done it really well. Particularly things of reporting format, things like that, and I think it's the kind of thing that the NBDA needs to look at as well. My sense also is that there is staffing capacity, but I don't mean staff skill. I mean just numbers of staff. One needs more ground staff to do things. I think it's also obviously a funding issue.
Maybe to follow up, Ms. Ray, you see the question is that you want to give X amount.
Yeah.
What is it you can do with that? You see, when you say you increase that, we are talking about the increase in the budget. But the question is that given the reality is that funds is not something that you can easily get, what is it you can do with what you have? To achieve the objectives of everything.
Well, obviously, the first process is the first situation to prioritize your goals. I think, in terms of project funding on the ground, I would limit projects and spend further time with those projects to ensure sustainability. I think a 1-year funding grant is sufficient, in my experience of working with people in that area. So I think I think that you would have to, as I said, consolidate, possibly pull your horns in terms of funding projects, look at much more invested, both in terms of personnel and finances, in terms of particular projects, so that you can make sure that they are economically sustainable in the long run. And then I think it is essential to do research, but I think that the research need not necessarily become an expensive process for the NBDA. I think there are stakeholders, universities, tertiary institutions, and others who would welcome forming partnerships in doing some of that research. Also, other organizations in the sector, such as the Association of Independent Publishers, and others. I'm thinking those kinds of things, I think, would be what I would concentrate on.
Thank you, good morning, Ms. Greece. It's a day, yes. I'm looking at your experience here, much more on education. To many institutions, especially around the Eastern Cape.
That's right.
Now, I want to hear from you whether, I suppose you have been involved in this even before the establishment of the NBDA. So far as the NBDA has been established in South Africa, what do you think it has been developed in developing media, especially the media that is small commercial media. I'm talking about the media that we use in our community. Could you tell us whether there is any improvement or do you think that we have also spoken about the challenges right now? I know we have told us what you think you as a person would do, but from your experience, what do you think you have gained from the MCDA?
Well, first of all, I've been really grateful, I'm grateful as a recipient from the MBA for a grant, and it was a project that very few people would help us with. I think because people are looking more at digital and radio rather than at print, and this is a print product. It's grade 8, 9, and 10 from 14 schools in Grahamstown, writing their own newspaper, and it's expressing the MBA aims of literacy, reading, writing, culture, developing, and developing those sorts of things. So from that point of view, there has been a project, for example, that I think is very important that has been developed. I think that the work that my understanding is, I don't know as much about radio as I know about print, but I know that there's been a lot of work in the Eastern Cape around radio, also around pulling organizations together and assisting, for example, us in the Eastern Cape Communication Forum to try and pull organizations, small commercial media, whether it's radio or what's their radio print at the moment, together. At the moment, they're also running with the awards, which I think is really important in terms of advocacy and part of the development of awareness around the small commercial media and the quality of the small commercial media. Some of the research that's been done, I haven't seen a lot of it, but it has been very useful. And I think that's another area that I said before, that we could, that the NDA could partner with other organizations on taking it over.
Honorable
Minister,
thank you.
My name is Riggins Nabab from CDA. Sometimes it seems to me that the whole NGDA thing can be very philosophical and but I want to know that a small little media company, so maybe a community radio, community newspaper, does it really have an impact as it was meant from the beginning?
I think from my experience, I think that it does. Okay, I can just talk about Robot Mills, but I'd say it's 141 years old, and people say they can't imagine Grahamstown without it. But if I look at the reception, I mean, we talk about, the NDA talks about leadership, and I'm not sure that they're talking about circulation or leadership. Our circulation might be 3,000, but our leadership is about 36,000 a week. And in terms of the involvement of the community into what is going on, through SMSing, the citizen journalism, the training of community members of citizen journalism, and in terms of them being prepared to talk about what the issues are, certainly this particular form newspaper is working, and it works with radio very sound to do that. I've seen it in Connection News and Alice, and I think Ferrara News and Boston Barber, and Taxi Talk and several others in the Eastern Cape, I think also the Zoutpansberger in up in the Limpopo, where the community newspapers are providing a service that no one else can add. There are only provincial newspapers. There's nothing else. There's nowhere else for the local individuals to advertise. There's nowhere for them to put their own celebrations, advances, or to bring their municipal news and things like that. So that's a particular, and that's an NDA project. It's struggling. I think it needs, as I say, it shouldn't be 1 year's time of support. You need to go further than that. But there's a very determined young woman doing that. I think the same thing with Sawari News and Popsy Barber. Again, these are two people, a man and wife, who are just putting out an A4 newspaper, black and white, and their social activists. They feel very strongly about what they're doing and how they're interacting with the community and the community interacting with it. I don't think one can underestimate, in fact, the impact of community small community media in terms of its localness and the knowledge of the local community that you get. You get national representation over TV and radio, or you get over the small community and both community radio and community press, is the hyperlocal, the issues around what is happening in your particular community. And often it's about service delivery, crime, and people's voices about what they have to say about those things. As well as, you know, as I said, the celebrations and the funerals and the general information and things that we need to do. The second thing is that I think through some of the tour we've done two quite interesting things with pages across the Eastern Cape. The first one was for the second one was Women's Day. We worked with three other community newspapers. We provided the Legal Aid Society of South Africa, provided funding, and we did an 8-page insert on women for Women's Day, celebrating women, looking at soldiers, looking at all sorts of roles that women play. And this was in collaboration, so there were four newspapers involved. We went from Kopstad to Graham Town and Super and Alice and Butterworth. And so it went out to about 30,000 copies, which from the newspaper's point of view, they said it really added value both for the readers and also for the advertisers who then saw a quality product coming out. And so that was a very exciting experience. The other one was, again with the Legal Aid Society, doing a Know Your Rights division, right? And for that, well, we did four letters eventually if we've gone and the kind of things we did were free municipal services. So how do you get access to free electricity and water? How do you get access to grants? What are your rights as a prisoner? So we don't respect prisoners, domestic abuse, those kinds of things. And that goes throughout the province, that's throughout the country. And it's very difficult to say, okay, well, this is what made a difference. But it's gone out. You can't find any more copies. They've all disappeared. 200,000 of them have been printed. They're being used somewhere and by people and kept. And the reason why we went for some of that is, again, looking at the statistics are difficult. But in Graham Times, I saw that only 25% of those people who were eligible had actually picked up on the pre-basic water and electricity. And so we did that. And then always at the beginning of the year, there's issues around school fees. We did a whole separate information around school fees, and again, the three different standards. It's one form of information dissemination, but it is about strengthening people to negotiate themselves successfully through their society.
Another
question.
Thank you.
As I understand it, the idea of media diversity is really to create a media scenario in this country where the views of the marginalized are accommodated and actually given space. That's in terms of race, in terms of gender, and in terms of class. Needless to say, 16 years down the line, there's been nothing of that other than some token gestures in that direction. The second area is content, which is probably the most important for me, without denying that race and gender is important. But I think when you talk content, that's what you really talk about in media diversity, is that you want a whole finality of ideas, of thought, and space thinking. So everyone doesn't have to just get paid the same things every day. Now, I would suggest that those are the goals of media diversity. That maybe wasn't about a bad part, it's very relevant. Is the MDA really achieving that? Because the thing that you're raising and that has been discussed so far, and that is to expand the pool, is obviously important. But the point is, firstly, as you say yourself, those are unsustainable, mostly. they are sustainable, they understand the whole time of funding coming from somewhere, and people being able to keep those up. But they actually did make it a group. I mean, they may serve the needs of people in Grahamstown to get information about Grahamstown, but they definitely don't deal with the bigger issues that are raised, and that means to give space to the ideas and to the thoughts of the mind, where it becomes part of the mainstream, not just part of that community. And so, without denying that that's important, because it is important to get more voices and so on, it seems to me that the real issue we're all dancing around is how do we actually tackle the monopoly of thought in the few media out of existence. I mean, I don't have the figures here, but it's totally and utterly embarrassing to see how little those media outlets, even on a symbolic level, change. Some of them are still completely white, and white male by the way. Completely white. They haven't even made an attempt to draw in one black person or two black people. Some of them have done that and drawn in one or two black people. Now, I don't want to talk about the merits of drawing a few individual black people in that you have chosen yourself as a media outlet. That's another debate we can have. But at least there was an attempt to do that. Now, those media houses, clearly, still operate exactly the same. They dominate the media and the thought discourse. So my question really, as I say, is a bit differently from a media part. What is it that the NGDA should be doing about that? Not denying it, and it still keep on doing whatever they're doing about expanding the others. But what do you do, and what mechanisms for example, are you prepared to very strongly push for the committee and commission to start looking at media practice? And there'll be a howl and a shout in this country, of course. Everyone will go crazy. But even that's a start to look at the thing. I mean, don't you actually have the difficulty of breaking into that market where the thoughts are controlling the country? It is exactly the whole of monopoly practice. For example, printing. A simple thing like printing. One or two of them control completely the printing in the country. So if you can't get into the printing, you're not going to get diversity of thought. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to see the outcry and the response to the new age. I mean, it's actually completely and utterly scandalous that the people that have not the opposition parties or some have jumped up or civil society to say something about new age, but it's the media where there's a different voice coming in. Supposedly, I don't even know who they are, but supposedly, it's the media attacking that voice and not wanting it to exist. I mean, I find it completely understandable, quite the opposite from what they're trying to see us daily about the free media and so on. Now, I'm really asking a very tough question. Because for me, the people I want to see on the NDA, we know to keep going the other things, but the ones that I'm now going to go and tackle those media are and try and make sure that there are new mechanisms brought in the country that are actually going to create diversity and badness, where the thought processes of the country are actually crystallized. And I wanted to hear your thoughts on that. I know, as I said, I know it's a tough question, because no one in this country is doing exactly that. And as soon as you raise those issues about diversity, of course you have an absolute outcry. Again, I think quite scandalous in the way it's done. That's just my opinion. If you can have some thoughts on that.
But don't worry, I'm sure that they are quite tough to the question.
I think you've raised a lot of issues here. A lot. I mean, I think if I look at what the reading, again, read the everyday report, some of them, I think editorial newsrooms have changed, ownership hasn't changed, and that's a major issue. I think. Newsrooms have diversified in terms of race, I'm not saying in terms of class, and also I think sometimes in terms of gender, but limited. But I think that there is a difference between the ownership and the editorial issue. Yeah, I know the argument that they, you don't appoint people that aren't like-minded, but I think the editorial has done something about diversification in terms of race and gender. But I think that the problem around the dominant voices, that we've got a worldwide problem. We have a dominant paradigm is the neoliberal paradigm. And South Africa is caught in that system as any other country. To fight that is an ongoing battle that I think people in development and in social movements have been doing for years and years and years, perhaps one year. That doesn't mean one gives up. But I think it is a long-term struggle. And I think that our dreams of doing these things quickly were ambitious dreams. And some possibly other identities. We're trying to do something that the rest of the world is also trying to do. As we've seen here now, the line is not a long time, unfortunately. The competition thing, we've tried to take people to competitions, and in the small community newspapers, we've tried to take the larger newspapers to the competition board, particularly in the Limpopo. We've not succeeded. And maybe that's tried to the NDDA, maybe with NDDA backing, we can look at that. Require more political will than there is at the moment, I think, around media diversity and also around supporting the NDDA. The printing issue is not as simple as I don't think. We used to run our own printing presses at GroCost, and we closed them down after 140 years because it was no longer economically viable. It cost me less to print at Paul Colstead than it does, this cost me to print at GroCost. Almost like I heard. Now, I'm not saying that Paul Colstead. So what I'm paying at Paul Colstead is almost cost price of what it would be for me to print. That's because of old printers. So you have an incredible shortage of printers, skilled printers. That's a big issue. And with our old printers, one color printers go through four times, the color is an issue. Whereas at Paul Colstead, they do our paper within half an hour and it's out. Okay, I'm sure that we've been charged a very good price for them. We negotiated as hard as we could, and it is a feasible price for us. We have started with an Eastern Cape communication forum trying to talk to the local printers about preferential rates. We have problems because the small community newspapers are, for example, their runs are short, between 3,000 and 10,000 in comparison to the large runs of the other newspapers. So we have to look at those things. I think some of the ways of trying to help the financial viability, and I don't think the things I'm talking about are unsustainable. They might deal with the funding, but there's government advertising and there's local provincial government advertising, which is not going to community press, and which should be going to the community press before any other press, because that's actually where the people are looking at the for example, Sorority and Tropopala, there are no newspapers in Tropopala. Nothing else but Sorority. So those are the kinds of things that should be happening. So you can call that funding, I would call it advertising, I would call it getting the message of the government out to people that need to get out. It's just to get that, the logjam around this unraveled. And maybe the NDDA could do a great deal in loosening the advertising and the needs of the communication needs of government into the community press, both radio and newspapers. I don't call that funding, I think that's income, and you see it through income. But we can't get that at the moment, for good reasons, which I think are just interested in. The way that I think that you can do the sustainability is about printing, yes, it is about negotiating good grades. And if there's enough pressure and enough political will, I think one can do that. I would also look, though, at the media house, the small commercial press, and if I talk about print theory, the issues are around design, layout, good sub-editing, and equipment. And I always think you could have separate editorial teams, but you could have a media house area as a combined layout, computer resources, and things like that. A little bit of what is trying to do in East London, but it's just at the beginning of that. So I think there's a lot of scope for pulling media hubs together, just like the old multi-purpose centers. But there's a lot of division over here. I come from the Eastern Cape, which is always divided. We're known for that. there will be battles around power and resources on the ground. So those are the other things that you're going to have to deal with all the time.
Transformation taking place. I would like to see change taking place, where we still have some areas of work where we need to kind of critically tackle that. I can make one example, and that is, for example, we've been able to do a research on transit ownership of media in different generic print, and the issues that came out there convinced me that we have some work to do as the MGTA. So it's within that light that I thought, if the people of South Africa still want me to serve on the board one more term, then I would consider it. And hence I am, I've availed myself.
Thank you, Chair. This is Vijay Sharma. My name is Nikhil Hazara from the Democratic Alliance. It's been 4 years as a board member with the MDDA. Just in short, can you tell us something of the progress you made in 4 years' time? What you brought to the party? What you can see when you look back at this 4 years, not sitting there in boardrooms and having one meeting after the other, but it boils down into practical things on the ground, and I want to hear from you, how did you make a difference as a board member of the NDDA? Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, the 4 years which I'd like to mention. The first one is that my forte, which was in fact the way in which I got into the board, was community radio. And that's been the area in which I have been passionate about all my life. And of course I can be separated from other media in this country. But for me that's been especially first around us then has been the way in which we look at our applications. So we receive huge amounts of applications. And the way in which we have to streamline and to actually say, how do I contribute to ensuring that the turnaround strategy is quicker, faster, and far more efficient. So that's the one thing. So our turnaround was, before I went into the board, before I was the board member, there was a complaint about the turnaround. And it was my commitment to say, how do we streamline this and quicker and faster? So it meant being involved in subcommittees and working with staff and then making clear suggestions about how to operate more and quicker and faster. So suggestion around, for example, interacting with beneficiaries far earlier on in the project cycle. That was the one thing that was quite clear. The second thing was to interrogate the numbers. It was to look at what, you know, communities are asking for, or perhaps the project is asking for, to say, okay, now let's apply our minds here with all these investments and look at these figures and take out or include whatever needs to be included so that the figures make sense, so that we understand clearly what's happening. So the second one then was clearly to look at how did we become far more efficient in terms of our work. The third one has been essentially being a conduit, so to speak, to the community radio stations. All of the entities attending the conferences, interacting with them directly, hearing what they are struggling with, both in terms of training, both in terms of needs, both in terms of other issues that come the way, and how I've been able to take that into the board. Because just one of the issues for me is obviously whenever, you know, my fellow board members, when a decision is made, one of the things that tended to do was say, okay, I've said, you would like to comment on this, which kind of made me feel that I occupy a particular seat around community religion in particular and how that is impacting the lives of people. And so that's the third one. The fourth one has been in the way that in my own work as a lecturer and as a teacher, I have also been able to say to communities that quite a lot of what has been researched need to come back into an informed manner before we go in. So, for example, commiserate the way it works and how it impacts on the lives of people every day. I've been able to appreciate that in some form of writing, in some form of interactions with other people. So, those four areas have been practical. It has caused me to crisscross this lens. It has caused me to go into forums and sit down with people where I, for example, represented the NGA in a number of forums, which, for example, the IEC in the learning communities, really going into areas where people have never actually had a career training where you run the IEC with them. So today, for example, people do know that there is something called the NGA. I have been vocal about and showing that we are.
Yes, that might be proper procedural or process is important. The question is to be addressed to you as a person, the current board member. What is it which you have brought to NDA? Not the normal processes of NDA to do things, but your person, the person who appeared before us, to be reappointed is so person. What is it which you have brought to NDA? Not the process is what the NDA does, but what is it your person says you have done the NDA?
So, Jefferson, I, as I pointed out, and I brought the element of how do we respond specifically to community radio. I'm a community radio specialist, I'm a community media specialist, and I sought to ensure that when we are dealing with our beneficiaries or those who are applying for assistance, I sought to bring a dimension which is about community radio and how it's going to impact them. I have also participated as someone who knows the challenges that community radio face and how I have been able to meet those and present them to the board so that we make informed decisions. That's what I've been able to bring in addition to what I've said today.
In fact, the question is the problem of where the technology is. What area do you think about as the agent of the country we need to further terms of the team, can experience the same. Yes, we also need have a team that they can take the organization forward. So on what I've just said, what can you think? Because I think, within 10 years, we need to be at a certain level in terms of discussing media development issues. We should be very, very fast, sensitive.
Thank you. I think the one thing that we need to do, the NCA in terms of transformation and strengthening of community media, is, for example, to look at the role currently played by other institutions. I'll start with Santec. I have continuously been bombarded by phone calls and emails from community media, where the biggest complaint has been about the tariffs, where a station in Mpumalanga would call and say, we are unable to pay for for a monthly rental, which is quite exorbitant given the tariff nature of the stations and how stations, the turnaround and how much money the turnover they make per year. And so I've often intervened and tried to interact directly at that level. And I think this matter needs to be addressed because then it gives stations again the opportunity to develop and grow. And I think the question of tariffs, that needs to be looked at quite seriously because I think the current structure, the flat rate, is actually hampering and therefore retarding the growth of the sector that should help. So that's the first thing I'll put across. The second one, obviously, would be for us as NGA to continue to interact with other players, those who are contributing to the NGA. To actually see how they can continue to increase support, because often we're not able to meet our mandate. We're not able to respond to huge applications purely because what comes in is this much as opposed to the huge demand that is there. So that's the thing. So it means that the NCA will need to continue to persuade, to cajole big business to give as much as possible to ensuring that we increase our response time to applicants. That's the second thing. With that also we need to make practical what the NCA Act requires in terms of media diversity and ownership in our communities. And I think the research that we've done is able to illustrate that with clarity. And I think that the broadcast bill, which we made submissions to yesterday, for example, speaks to that, speaks to how do we strengthen ownership and development diversity of media to all of our beneficiaries. The third one, the honourable member spoke about internal capacity within the OCA. There's a lot that is expected, and clearly, the size of staff, the size of the NDA, certainly that needs to be increased even more. We would love to have people's expertise in keeping up the financial management and financial obligations in terms of what we've been able to do, because we have the requirement that is pushed to us through the PFMA, and the adherence to that critical and quite important for us. And the second thing, within the capacity around, we love to have people who have brains in order to interact legally with the legislation and the piece of legislation that's all
require that for the increase in our capacity to carry on the work that we are able to do. So, in light of that, my take then is, in order for transformation to take place, we need to look at these impediments and deal with them directly. And therefore, the MTA will be able to function even bigger. I mean, one of the things that we'd love to see happen is actually the increase in the annual budget that's allocated to the MTA. And because a lot is expected from us, and therefore, working with other departments like the DOC, we would love to see how, in the future, this house could see that, increase in what's allocated to the MTA. So I think with those points, I think that we are on track, and I think that we are able to interact with on that level.
Before Admiral Kedizane comes, you are saying you need to continue discussing with the current I'm sure MDA is there for some time. And I'm talking about the cutting in terms of the funding and so on. Do you think this is the existing one where MDA has to beg for funding from the same industry player, which is forced to transform and divest their own industry? That does it work?
I think we have been working from from the confines of the MTA Act, which actually requires these big role players to make a contribution and to be pegged at a certain percentage. I must agree with you. Often we go there and then we have meetings with them and we report back to them and then we ask. If they would carry on, renewing their mandate. So that's been the confines in which we've been working. I also have the view as well that our research, which we conducted, has actually caused us, particularly with the print sector, has caused us to get to that point where Jefferson is mentioning that first we need to be a little bit harder because they are, in terms of the overall contributors, they are a minority contributors to, as compared to others. And so when the research came out and the report that actually speaks about legal transformation within the print sector, their response was they actually took offense and have been kind of tentative about whether they wanted to give or not give. And quite recently, they made some indications that they're not happy with what we pronounce publicly about the legal transformation in the print sector. So as a result, we are thinking that we may need something much bigger than just hoping and persuading them. And I think that will depend clearly on what we do going forward. And so the persuasion at times doesn't work because I think that sector needs quite a lot of transformation themselves, and that's what we pointed out to them. And I'm listening out of that capacity. So I think that as long as the MTA Act is there, we would like to work within the confines of the law. But the most important thing is to explore how do we take it to a level where we don't have to persuade that they would really give if they expect it to be given.
Johnny Duranga, MP. I think I'm following up on the last two questions made. I think we're talking past each other. You're talking one thing. I don't think, for example, the question that Mugabe has asked is addressed at all. And maybe it's not your fault. Maybe it's the way the MDDA operates and the way it sees its mandate. If we ask you, and even in all your answers you've given, and quite lengthy answers now, about about transformation, all your answers are focused solely on how you expand and develop community media. Now, you must misunderstand me. I think that it's very important to build and expand and develop community media. But the way I understand diversity, it's got many facets, but I will concentrate on one or two of them. When it comes to the media, I understand that what we want is to make sure that in the area of ideas and the area of information, that the views of people broadly are part of that, are expressed in their needs. So particularly black people who have been excluded largely from the media and seen on more as objects than subjects. Women, class. Those are the kind of issues I think address or start addressing diversity of the media. It's when the media starts reflecting the intellectual discourse and capacity of a society, and people can see their own issues and needs and so on in that media. Whether it's a particular newspaper or it's the media at all, doesn't matter. Secondly, it's ideas, content. I mean, that's surely the most important issue of diversity, is content. That we should have a diversity so that even the DA can see ideas that they would want to see in their ideology. Even the ANC, IFP, Coke and so on, people generally in society. That is a discourse around those kinds of issues. Now, the problem is, the way you address the issue and other NDA people, you seem to think that you're going to solve the problem just by expanding community radio. None of you talk to us about what are your projects and programs addressing the diversity in the mainstream media, the ones that have existed for decades and centuries. The independents, the cats and owls, those, in terms of their ownership, basically white, their news houses are probably a little bit different. Their editorial staff and so on. And there is an influx of diversity there. But I would suggest that the media still largely reflects a particular paradigm. Most black people will still be alienated from it. I imagine many white women, and definitely class-wise, would be strongly alienated from it. And in terms of intellect, I get no single intellectual stimulation from anything I read. I don't even get titillated by the sexual article, which I just opened. Now, the problem I have is, and this is a question Mr. Mugazi has asked you, Mr. Van der Bash, in a way, has asked you as well. Do you have projects and programs to tackle the diversity of the mainstream media? If you have, then tell us, because it's not come through at all. And the issue is that we want to know is, if we choose a new board, we would want to put people on there, not all of them just knowing about community media, but we want to start getting people on there that will tackle the issue of media diversity in the mainstream media. I think all of us are unhappy one way or the other. It doesn't matter where you stand politically and where you stand in society. Now, that is what I can't get from MDA, DDA people. Now, I have been too honest with us and tell us, well, you do little things like the print review that you did, but there are no specific programs and projects aimed at that aspect. And if not, if you have some reason for it, I can think of the reasons. I mean, I would imagine that because the media houses are part of MDA, you see, if I'm a media house person, if I'm an independent person and I go to an NDDA meeting and all that discuss is community media, I'd be accepted. I'd be happy. I'd give all my support to it. I'd say, yes, build a community media. But if you're going to start scratching around, yes, in my and my media started to create programs and projects that address diversity at that level, then I'm going to be very unhappy. And I'm not going to be participating in those, and I'm going to try and block those things from happening. So all of you need to be very happy with your community radio and community media. And as I say, I don't knock it. I think it's important. But the problem I do have is that is your focus. Then I think there's a serious, serious structural flaw in NDDA. And it's something we need to address. So I'd like your response to that.
Well, remember, I do agree that we're not looking at issues of content and content programming, both in print overall, but only just within community or even commercial media. I think that we haven't devoted enough time to look at content and to interact with content which is produced in mainstream, commercial, community, and all of that. And I think that is one area in which we would like to do that. I think we have gone directly into community. I remember, for example, there's a project that we are engaged in now, which looks at issues of diversity, particularly for those people who are taking seriously issues of gay and lesbian, for example. We have put quite a lot of emphasis on that because it adds the part of diversity and critical thinking around that. We have engaged on ourselves, for example, these issues on quite recently in Devon, the main garden through their critical thinking forum. We have been able to put on the table the extent to which issues that one of the members has mentioned now of lack of critical analysis, lack of depth in a way in which stories are covered both by print as well as mainstream, including the ACBC. We've highlighted, coming from there, that one of the clear projects that we need to tackle head on, so to speak, is to look at content and confront the lack of diversity that comes out. You're absolutely correct, Honourable Member, by saying that even the print newspapers that we're supporting, and the commercial ones, small commercial, they seem to be not coming up with something, wow, it doesn't make people say wow. We have looked at it critically. I mean, we receive what the editors, produce. We've looked at it. And our comment has always been, there is a lack of depth. So as part of our thinking was to say, how do we engage them with producers and consumers, where on the one side we interact with the African public or the citizens and say they must come up with something where they can influence the content that's going out. And then at the same time, how we have confronted newsrooms as well about the lack of depth and analysis and the simplicity that is there. We have started that process, and as you have alluded to, we've started making some feel unhappy because we've asked those particular questions, not only just about the lack of translation, the generally white-owned press, but look at the content issue, because it's the next one that we want to talk about, as to how do you realize, revitalize the content and make it such that it's worth looking at. Some of that is what comes out of radio, both on ACBC and also police. It's filled with lots of boring stuff, which I have articulated over and over, the need for training, the need for peer review, the need for in-depth analysis when we open up the forum of stuff that's going on. For me, as a programmer, I do cringe all the time when I hear what's coming out in the name of radio and television and print, because the content is literally below par. One of the things that we are doing in the NTDA, started initiating with our partners like NCRF, has been to look at the question of content. It's been to say, we're not happy with the content. So all in all, I do agree with you, Honourable Member. I don't think we're doing much of the content stuff. Because much of our response has been to say, oh, okay, the Act requires of us to do X, Y, Z, look at applications, to look at issues of governance. We've done that. And I think that the ABA needs to go to a higher level in trying to deal with issues around content and transformation and do a kind of work around that.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Good morning, my name is Dori Moluka. I just want to comment because I think the speakers that have spoken before me have hit on all the interesting things that you wanted to touch. It is quite clear, you know, Chairperson, that the policies that we put in place and develop into law, sometimes we shoot ourselves right on the foot. Because I don't know, I'm going to speak as a woman, a mother. If you put a pot of soup on the stove, juicy soup, you know, the people who are going to get the most juicy and of soup food stuff that you're putting in that soup are the ones who are going to get the juice that is below. The ones that who are going to get the upper layer of the soup, they're not going to get the juicy part. This is the part of this marginalized that we're talking about, the upper layer. The real thing is down there. The question that I asked by Honorable Zilani. And here, I think what is quite clear is that the strategy of dealing with these houses, the media houses, is not coming up front. We are talking about, here it's quite clear that people have got a meeting of how they can do this. But no one, we don't get this person that Honorable Milan is talking about. The person is going to be bold enough to face this. And this is the time when we need it. Because actually the content that we're talking about is the real thing that we're talking about. And all the other commercial the papers that we're talking about, especially the Sun, in Johannesburg is the Sun, here in Cape Town is the Sun, and it has got fabricated stories, but it's still budget. And it's going strong. You know, I think somewhere in that country is called Ilana. And they just changed the name according to the great way. And is it the community paper that we're talking about? So, Jefferson, I am, covered by the previous speaker. But I think we're having a real problem here. And I think Honorable Ilana and the question that I have, no one is coming near what we are asking. Thank you.
Maybe Mr. Nini would respond after the question. In our eyes on a bond, when coming to the system, are we looking at the right or backing the right suit?
I would like to ask Mr. Nini two things. First is the role that is foreseen by some of the members. Do you have the regulatory framework to actually address content issues? I want to ask you, or do you see that there are some weaknesses which is making it difficult for you to work for real, establishing real diversity, substantive, deepened diversity in the industry? If I look at the objectives, I'm a little concerned that maybe you do not have the legislative form to do what is expected. So please, just your comment and what you propose should change in the NEDA Act to give you the backing, legislative backing to do that. The The second point is, if I look at the objectives of the NDDS, and pardon me, my name is Julie Killian, I'm from Gotham. The second issue is the issue of capacity building. And really, it's again, earlier you indicated that you assist the very many applications and that in the process you sometimes have to engage with some of the community radios because they find it difficult to pay the rentals, which are sometimes exorbitant, etc. Is that not just one of the weaknesses that we have? That too little money is allocated and that there's not the commensurate project development that goes with it to really meaningfully help them to establish themselves into bigger conglomerates, or start off with smaller, but then to grow into something more significant. How do you assess support by finances allocated and support and success of those institutions that actually benefit from the funds? And how do you ensure that in the future you establish almost like a matrix to say, this is what we have succeeded in, these are the shortcomings, this is the way forward as a board. How can we address maybe shortcomings in the legislation? Secondly, your operation. How will you ensure effective monitoring of the successes or the failures? Thank you.
I don't think anyone has suggested that they should start telling the newspapers what content. When one talks about content, he's talking about the content changing through diversity. It is through changing the diversity spectrum of the media that you'll change the content. It's not being suggested that you must go and start looking at content and scribbling and so on. No suggestion like that. I mean, it's as per your objectives in your act. The objective of the agency is to promote the relevance and diversity in the South African media. Not in the South African community media. It is in the South African media. It includes the big media. And then it says in the rest of the text. I just want to make it clear that it's not debate about you now getting involved in content. It is how do you change the content and the intellectual discourse in the media by changing the diversity and reflecting, therefore, that diversity in the context. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Just a quick response to Honourable Member Delany. I think something that I have looked at in terms of academies and training, developing innovations, but to an extent I'm bringing in women, the marginalized, the youth, into ownership. And that ownership is community based or right across the spectrum would then reflect in terms of the content coming out. Unless we capture those issues, we're not just replacing people, but actually looking critically at issues around that. So it's going to do with training, it's going to do with development, it's going to do with interacting people directly where they are. And therefore the media field space in South Africa would look completely different. And I do acknowledge that we've got a long way to go regarding that. In terms of the third question asked by Honourable Member, I just want to begin to say that I think we need to take the NDDA Act in the light of other laws that we have in this country, the Constitution, the Broadcasting Act, Broadcasting Bill that we're looking at now, and to see how we can make it meet, because we do have a mandate to look at how we ensure that diversity and the issues of development make practically clear to people. And I think that NDDA Act may need to, for us to flesh out in the light of the issues that you're raising, because I think we've got enough legislation that is kind of supportive. And I think it's a comment to the board and also to the broader public in South Africa to say, how do we make this meaty then so that people are able to interact directly with what we have? We have just been conducting a study on clinicians. I'm just making an example on the precept. In relation to the question you asked, a project comes to us to apply for funding, particularly the precept. And what happens is that we offer them the assistance that they need and support them all the way right through. Now, much of that would be money that will be coming from the precept sector, and then they'll be giving at some amount. We need, this is the issue that we've identified, that actually we need to take on in the next step, a printing co-op or a printing press around it. Because what happens is that if you look at the value chain in terms of what print media is, now that beneficiary that has got this money from the NGA, they write the stories, they lay out all these things, then they go back to the same big boys and girls, what I mean, mainstream media. And then the amount of money that they pay is just unbelievable, just to have a freshly printed magazine or newspaper, because they go back to the same printing houses, because they control those printing houses. So it's a thought for us that, no, hang on, as much as we're supporting people, in the chain, the big business will get the money back because we haven't developed this print house or co-op which we would like to support. That's the next thing that we've kind of identified. I've been interacting with communities of down the road in Stellenbosch in a newspaper, which we can try to put together. And then we realized just how much it would cost just to go backward to go for print. We need to go back to the print media SA. Whether it's Caxton, whether it's Media 24, because they are the ones who control the big printers. And that's an example of how we're feeling retarded, feeling that we're not making a breakthrough. And the suggestion that we put forward is to say, you know, we want to develop as MCA a space for other people so that they don't feel that they're obligated. Because when we calculate, we find that actually that money going back to so we need to stop the funding so that they give and then we can be able to track and see if it's not happening. So that's an example which I will highlight, which in that sense the education can be tightened. But at the same time, we would like to see how debt transformation, particularly with print, is being made stronger.
That was the last question. But I can see one of the members here to want to make a follow-up.
Tim, sorry, I just wanted to know for sure that we're not throwing money at beneficiaries and that we're not monitoring the outcome of the money. Because ultimately, it's no good that we have a list of applicants. And this year, this one's turned, that one's turned. I just wanted to know, is there any inspection and monitoring so that we know that we're actually diversifying, we're establishing more, and not actually develop or support new ones, the previous ones are not succeeding. I just wanted to know that we have such a system to monitor the success.
It's about the level of success of those radio or print media. Community media and so on in terms of how sustaining at this project. I think one of our that because we might be taking this very far when we're starting to work.
Yes, Chairperson, certainly. We looked at our success rate. The stations, for example, I mean that speaks for itself. Given the challenges that they face, but they all are still running, those who support it. In terms of print, clearly, there is a success rate which we have looked at. Through our own monitoring, we've got an EMME system based at MTA, we've looked at the success rate. And in the last meeting, we looked at that and we found it to be standing at 85% of the success rate of those that we support. So there's a high rate of of sustainability of our beneficiaries, and we look back and we see how they function. Others obviously are short term, but you know, that they made an amendment and then that's it. So through our energy system, we have been able to ascertain this
team. Thank you very much, Mr. Nick. That was the last question. And we wish you well. We'll see you next time. So enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you to the members as well. And thanks to you.
Good morning, Honourable Member, Mr. Eric Kolani, and members of the committee members. Firstly, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for giving me an opportunity to come and be interviewed for the NDA. Mr. Kolani, I think for me, my passion and my heart remains to be committed in developmental work. And I think the NDA mandate fits smartly into that. My going back to the NDA is not like I'm going to finish unfinished business. If I'm not doing it at the NDA, I will be doing it in my own personal capacity, you know, at grassroots level when the projects are actually taking place.
As someone who's been a member of the NDA, could you please tell us what your precise role was, and do you think that you were successful in everything that you set out to achieve, and tell us about some of the things that you want to do in the future. And obviously you do have ideas, because that's why you've applied to be a board member again. So yeah, just let us know what your successes were and what your future ambitions are.
Thank you. I think I was part of the team that supported the project of media literacy and development. One of the projects inside the NDA, the second one, you know, the one on preservation of indigenous languages and preservation of cultures, which I think for us as a country remains in core. Both those projects are still in their infancy stages. The media and literacy program, we have launched it, we have rolled it out first in Mountain West, the most rural areas in the Eastern Cape. And the second one we held it this year in the Northwest, in Mafeking. And then the third one, we're hoping to have it next year in KZN. That is in the spirit of encouraging our young people to read and to also engage with their forms, different types of media. From a great perspective. In terms of achievements, I think besides communicating to my peer Kenya there, we have ensured through the support of the executive members of the team of the NDA to make sure that our financial health remains key. You also asked about some of the challenges. I hope I'll be able to answer them in a speedy manner. I think one of the biggest challenges that we're facing inside the NDA is the high staff turnover. In two successive years, we've lost two executive program directors, and that particular position remains key and an integral part of ensuring that we roll out programs to the ground. Excluding those ones, we also continue to need staff on the ground because, you know, reality is from a payment perspective, we don't pay premium rates and that kind of a thing. And most of the time, people that work for the NDA are people who really care about developmental issues, but there comes a time where they cannot retain them and they get poached by other people for better pay. We could have resolved that in the NDA in terms of addressing those matters, but it's in the act in terms of that only 10% of the total funding that we get should be used for administrative stuff and so forth and so forth. So I think that is one of the challenges that we had at the ABDA. The second challenge that we're facing in terms of the support that we provide to the projects on the ground, is, I mean, also witnessed it about 2 months ago where we saw the shutdown of Cape Town TV by Stantec because of the tariffs that they have to pay. So right now what we are hoping for is to almost like look at the whole tariff structure, you know, reserving the three tiers of broadcasting, because it doesn't matter whether you're a public broadcaster, it doesn't matter whether you're a commercial broadcaster or a community broadcaster, the tariff remains the same. And SABC is the one thing that we take forward to say, let us review the tariffs that are being accepted to be paid by the community sector. I think the third and key challenge we're facing at the end of the day is the funding of the agency. When you look at the financial year 09-10 and 10-11, the reduction in funding by government itself, and we've also experienced a reduction in funding by the previous year itself, because they told us that within the next 5 years they remain committed, but the funding will decline. You know, almost like a glide path approach, you know, that kind of a thing. So they've got their own challenges from a financial perspective. As a sector, we are told that they are faced with decline in leadership, decline in advertising, and so forth and so forth. So whatever money that they need to actually look to come. And the challenge with the print, unlike the broadcasters, is that whatever contributions that they make to the ADA, it's not, they are not legislated. These are the broadcasters where we know that certain percentage will come to us basically based on how much they've made. Also from a broadcasting side, we have seen that advertising, most broadcasters rely heavily on advertising as a revenue income generation stream. But over the past years and probably going forward, I think we're going to continue to see sharp decline from an advertising perspective because of we are moving into a conversion world. Right now, when people advertise, they've got much, many more options, you know. They can put their ads on television, they can put their ads on radio, and perhaps they can even put their ads online or even mobile. So in terms of reliance on advertising going forward, as well, it will become a challenge.
Yeah,
sorry, I'm not sure.
I want to ask a question about this. When you look at the MDA and you speak to people that are involved with it and the intentions with which it was created, I suppose the best way is to look at the preamble, which says, whereas it is desirable to establish the media that is out to help create an enabling environment for media development and diversity that is conducive to public discourse and which reflects the needs and aspirations of all South Africans, to address the exclusion and marginalization of disadvantaged communities, blah, 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 promote media development diversity by supporting the community and small commercial projects. Now, it seems to me that this latter point about supporting community and small commercial projects, that one you've tackled vigorously. And it seems to be uncontested in the sense that it doesn't affect obviously the big media houses. The money doesn't come from them. It comes from either the state or wherever you get your money from. And so it's a non-adversarial step. But when it comes to addressing the status quo, the media houses that exist and their diversity, independent, taxed, and all those, SABC, then it seems that you guys do nothing, or almost nothing. Now, I want you to comment for me as an incumbent there. I imagine part of the reasons are exactly the point I'm making. It's easy to deal with something that's not going to be adversarial to you, for example, the community structure. But it seems to me like someone like you, who's on the SABC, it would be very difficult for you and someone of the people there that are from Summit and talk on Summit issues, it's very difficult for you to actually be driving processes to transform those institutions in the way that we want. For example, if you talk about the SABC,
what would be the best form of diversity? Obviously, it would be good if SABC itself is more diverse, but obviously, more diversity will be in terms of creating more TV stations. Now, when clearly you, as a SABC member, the last thing you would be asking for is to try and promote new TV stations. The same with Summit. The people there from Summit, the last thing they will be doing is to try and promote new newspapers. Particularly ones that have a different voice from the ones that are existing. So, you know, I want an honest answer to you. To what extent is the structure, and yeah, I'm not blaming you at all the people from Summit, I'm actually looking at the structure of the, and the intention we had with this, and whether we'll actually ever meet the goals that we wanted to. Because it seems to me that we will always happily address commercial media. And no one has ever moaned about it. But when we come to addressing the real McCoy, the one is the established media houses, and how you address diversity there, then clearly the structure of the MDDA, I think, lends itself not to address issues. I can't talk for political world because I know none of them. I don't know a single one of you, so I don't know if you have a political world to do this. But the structure seems to me to be a huge problem that doesn't lend itself to it. Now, if I'm wrong in all this, you can maybe tell me what projects you do have to transform the established media and how you're going to do it. It'll be good to hear that. I mean, the previous chap, Mr. Minyi, previous candidate, couldn't lend any of that, so he couldn't tell us if there were any, and I imagine the other discussions I've had with MDA people that they isn't any. But if there are, maybe you could elucidate that. So really, I'm trying to address a difficult question and really to ask you the relevance of the MDA in its present structure to achieve the kind of things it wants to in the area of the established media, not the commercial, not the community media which you can do with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. From where I'm sitting and what I've been witnessing, I think the mandate of the MDDA remains core. The one thing that we've also experienced is that when you look at the projects on the ground and the programs on the ground, because you also touched a bit about experiences and so forth and so forth, on Friday we're having what we call Community Media Awards. And we know that the ministry announced the winner on Friday night is going to be the director. So the challenge for the MDDA is we have X number of projects that we're funding and we're supporting. But as we support big media, as MDDA clearly the culprit, we go back and take what MDDA has invested in and has also plowed in. Because part of one of our strategies is to capacitate the community sector. You know? So that remains a challenge rather than MDDA. But that in itself tells us that we remain key and core. Because when people leave those particular small community radio stations or the print and so forth, it doesn't die down. We need to recapacitate and ensure that what has been started does not die down. For instance, last month we lost one of the ladies in the print sector who was graduating in community. The only humbling thing is that it was not a one-man show. Because it's a community project, the team is not going to pick up where they've left off. I think we also need to remind ourselves of the history of this country and why MDDA was formulated in the first place, is that once upon a time we had a group of people, probably the majority of the people in this country, who had no voice, who could not even communicate or articulate their own story. And I think that through MDDA intervention, now we are able to have that diversity of voices and the plurality of those voices, where people can articulate their little stories from whatever little corner that they are coming from. So from that particular instance, this is where I still see the relevance of MDDA in its current form and in its current structure. I hope I was able to address your question.
As an advocate who comes
here
from if you are attempting to answer the question, are we saying those people in those different corners and whatever they are, that's where they must be for the rest of their lives? because we've got the mainstream media. That's the question. Where are you dealing with the actual issue of that kind of society? The mainstream, the big guys. Because the recent story we are talking about, they will continue, they are in Buzin and Gumara. But they are still isolated in that region, whereas the mainstream main entities and so on. I think the question is around to say, but I will add the right. We might have a good intention to establish MBDA, but I will address the next issue of indecisive about the current form of MBDA. What are we doing?
Then I think that then I've added the issue with this candidate. Working on the board, say, is the structure itself of the organization not the problem? Because who is the main? It's you, FSEC. It's done it. It's independent. So if you reside on the board, on the NDA, to what extent are you going to be able to transform through your programs in the NDA those structures? I'm suggesting clearly there's a problem. Because even after your whole focus is on commercial media. Your focus is not on the establishment. And maybe it has to be like that, because once you people there start getting involved in the establishment, you're in trouble because you're conflicting yourself. You're now fighting with your own boss as you go back to work every day. You get your salary. So I think, you know, structurally I'm asking you, that's the structure of the NDA by using the people in the establishment media to put that in the NDA to actually address the diversity of that establishment media. Doesn't that actually create some sort of structure?
I hope I'm following your question clearly. And I remember when I came here for the first interview, the father of one board member, I was asked that, is there no conflict between you sitting inside the CBC and you wanting to go and serve on the board of the NDA? My answer was, I do not see any conflict. Because one of the key strategies of the NDA was to further strengthen our stakeholder engagement strategy and also partnerships, because for us to realize this in other programs, we realize as NDA that we cannot go and it alone. And I think there are a number of projects that we partner with the SABC in terms of ensuring that those programs are realized. I mean, last year, the Media Freedom Day, we partnered with the NDA, partnered with the SABC. Even in terms of just elevating the profile of the NDA, when you partner with the SABC, from a commercial perspective, it becomes it will be seen as a CSI program, vis-a-vis a commercial program. Because one of the other challenges that we had at the ABDA was the NDA visibility to the public. So at the ABDA, at the ABDC, we decided to say, we fund the ABDA regardless. So how do we make sure that we assist the ABDA to make sure that its profile is elevated? So through that program, we're able to do that. On Friday, we had what we call the Community Leader Award. At the ABDC, we believe strongly in the development of this particular sector. Mr. Colonna asked me a question earlier on to say, we want people, if a person is sitting in that little rural corner, to remain there. The answer is absolutely not. I mean, I started somewhere once upon a time, and I still have career ambitions. That, you know, that it will always be an occurring thing. There will be people that are coming in, and there will be people living in that particular industry. So it's a more like a 360-degree thing. One comes in, and one goes out the other way. So I'm not sure if the colleague was able to answer your question satisfactorily.
Yeah, I think
that
the
NDA
is
not
really the
thank you, I just want my name is Julie Killian and I'm from Co. I just wanted to ask, and just a little bit of a follow-up on Mr. Lazaro's question. Your experience at the FABC could be very valuable, but obviously you're also working in a troubled corporation, as we find ourselves at this stage. Just a little bit of a concern, because if we look at the issue of where is your focus going to be, I would like to ask you, how often do you meet at the NDA, at the board?
And is it seeing that it is still a new body or an agency, which requires sort of its own systems and structures and monitoring to ensure that it is achieving a success? Is it possible for you to take leave? I suppose you take leave from the FABC, take a day leave when you go to the board meeting or what? How do you manage that? And if we look at the composition of the board, it is not the only FABC senior member that serves there in the UK. I know we also have Mr. Demandi there, who's also a very senior official at the FABC. If you look at the six members that we need to, three of them, vacancies will now have to be filled, it makes it a little complex, provided that you are telling us the NDEA board does not meet that often. And see, according to law, you have to meet at least 4 times a year, and if you're not able to have more than 8 special meetings, what's the practice since you were appointed there? How much time did you have to devote, and did you on occasion perhaps feel that you wanted to devote more time there, seeing that it is still an organisation or an agency that in itself is still developing its own processes? Thank you.
Thank you, Ken, for your question. I think I can say in a sense that coming into the NDEA, I was slightly fortunate because I came after a board that sat there that did the most hardest work, setting up the agency from scratch, putting up systems and so forth and so forth. And when I came in, I think I came in to find an almost a well-oiled system that actually really, really works. You talk about the frequency of the meetings. Yes, as a board, we meet 4 times. Then one other time, it's more like a 3-day turnaround session where we discuss issues around strategy, our plan for the next fiscal, and so forth and so forth. But over and above that, we also have subcommittees, you know, who zoom in and hone in on the overall, you know, overarching board matters that need to be done. And also asking the question that, has there been a time when I feel like, oops, I need a little bit more time, you know, just to make sure that maybe we can do really much better. I don't think that there's been that edge, per se. I mean, we were taken through Q3, you know, and it was really forced to say, any board has been more than 4 times. I mean, 6 times is like maximum, you know, so I mean, the gentleman was running our session. In fact, almost commanded us to say, you know, we are happy that you still are sharing to government matters in terms of how board meetings are actually being handled. But over and above that, I mean, sometimes we're requested to support the organization outside, you know, our board meetings and so forth and so forth. I mean, on Friday night, I'm definitely going to be there hosting the NDEA flag at the community media award. With the community media literacy project, I will make sure I'm Saturday this weekend, but because it's a project that is very, very close to our heart, I always make sure that I create a diary in advance because we normally get the days way, way in advance. So for those kind of projects, I just put on my case even to sort of like run the marathon for the NCDA. Thank you.
My first question, it could be on the general functions of the board. On the promotion of media and development guidance. One of the functions of the agency is to identify the historical disadvantaged community. And actually and the person that not adequately served by the, you know, by the media. And I think in your first presentation when First Thessalonians 1, can you give us examples on the project or the area where you saw that this area is still a disadvantaged area, but we still have people who are dealing with the process of media, but they are not getting enough access to. So as the agency, can you just apply those areas that we have to focus on? And another issue, another question that I want to ask is about the decline on assets. You have mentioned that there is now from the industry, they say in that case, yes, they are committed in terms of funding. But there will be a time where they will be able to do it. My question is to the is it because of the new technology instruments that are easy to use on advertising? So I assume maybe the industry has identified new technologies that they can use in front to cut the cost and actually the thing that there is in terms of the economy, there is a challenge in terms of the finances, so they will opt for the easy route also to manage their finances. Another one is about coaching. We have spoke about the MBA. You have your staff, you have paid your staff, but you are finding yourself losing people. And the question is that what mechanism do you have to retain those things? Do you have structure to retain
thank you. I think you've asked me 10 questions and I'll try to answer them at the IOC 7. You asked about the general functions of the NDDA board and some of the how do you ensure that we are able to deliver on the mandate and ensure that we do have diversity. The one thing that I remember coming to the NDDA, I said, I need to see where it's funding projects, because I can see their projects being funded, but I need to see in terms of that geographic outlet where the projects are sitting, and fortunately they created this board, because the one thing is that you find that in this old little area of funding free, and for me it could not be allocated those resources to places where they are ready to acquire. And I just tend to have a bias towards rural areas where they really, really need interventions, vis-a-vis our urban townships, areas that kind of thing, because I think from a penetration perspective, they are there and they are on top. So with this chance that you have inside the NDDA, when you go into that office, you are able to see how diverse, where you put in support for projects and so forth and so forth. And then you said, why also inform which projects you fund and where you take them through? I've used the media literacy program. We chose Mount Aviv because of its location. I remember when we went there last year when we relaunched the project, the teachers told us that they even had to drive to where we held the 3-day workshop to. It's a 2-hour drive. I said this to earlier this year when we tabled our discussion to say, those young staff they shared with us that, if they're even newspaper 3 times a year, it's an action for them. From a training perspective, most of them just listen to the radio and they don't even know how it all happened. And we work very closely with the community radio station that was there. If you could see them come alive, you know, when they've been taught to say you press this button, you add this, you minus this, you edit it this way, and you hear them listen to the end product. You know, it's such a humbling experience. Even they do the training, but they say they have to create their own little posters, that kind of a thing, where they really know what is the headline, you know, what is the byline, the main story of the body. And by the time you go to day three, they have been capacitated in those tools. And the question was, when what happens then? We encourage them to become really generous, to say, in your area, if you see something happening, the one thing that you know about the mobile telephone is that in terms of information, it's there. If you see something happening, take a picture, because we also add our community print project to show that. Take a picture, write a little film, the print is there to assist you, making sure that your story gets printed and mentioned. And we'll write a little narrative and go to the community radio station. They will be there because we sort of like planted the seed to create this partnership. You know, so those are some of the things that we're trying to do to also expose youngsters to the creation of this media. But also, we want them to start questioning and not be passive consumers of whatever it is that they do. To say, if you read a story, start critiquing what you read. Don't take everything that you get as issues. Start asking questions and so forth and so forth. The second question was the decline in advertising. He said it could be because of technology. It's true, we can never disregard the impact that technology has in our life. They become intrusive little devices in whatever form, but we can never wish them away. That's here to stay, and we need to find ways and mechanisms on how we have to adapt and work with this technology. From a broadcasting perspective, what this technology presents us with is that they allow us to have multi channels. Now, with multi channels, what does that mean? It means you have fragmented audiences. Never again will you be able to say, you know, I hold the market share at 8 o'clock of 24%. Because there's multi channels, people are all for choice. It's going to be very, very difficult, even from an ABC perspective, if I'm using the ABC as an example, to promise the advertiser to say, I will bring you X number of eyeballs who will be watching this particular television program at this particular time. Even from a radio perspective, but I'm happy to record that from an ABC perspective, there's still an increase in terms of listenership. But, you know, fragmentation, these are the challenges that technology is bringing with us. So, from an NDE side of things as well, is that how are we responding to these technologies as they come? How are we using them to infuse them into, you know, the applications, how they're being used in community media, both from a television perspective, also from a radio perspective, because with SMS, how do we make it interactive? People need to SMS so that we also hear their views. That way, we are able to spread and identify the type of views that are out there. And then the other question you asked was around capacity building inside the NDDA. I raised earlier on the issue of high staff turnover. And I mean, that's the way we raised it with the people who wanted to find out why are people in the NDDA. And salaries were passing to be good because they did not pay them well and we can't really increase them. And instead, they did not find money somewhere. From a policy perspective, let's look at what other similar organizations, small and large, are paying people. And we realize that we're way below par. And based on some of the funds that we could find lying around, also making sure that we're sticking to the 10%, because we see it, we're able to just add it to the project. But from a project perspective, you know, our aim is that when we afford funding for projects, we have made sure that not one person gets trained in that particular project. We make sure that if five people get the training, because that way you get maximum output. You know, even if one person or two people leave, we still have the other person who will remain behind to sustain the project. And they are able to, and they are also able to still sustain, because that is the one thing that we are encouraging in projects on the ground. Say, if one person, you know, let's make sure that that one person ensures that they hold two people hands, so that everybody inside that particular community environment that get that kind of training and also some form of capacitation.
Thank you. I don't see any follow-up or another question. Thank you very much for your time. We wish you well. followed for a site today, and also started to collect information, as well as indicated. And that's the best. Honorable members will ask you questions. If you are not clear, you can ask them to ask your name. So we see your question. I'm Eric Collan, acting secretary for the committee. Honorable members will introduce themselves as they'll be asking them questions. I will start with my question. If you can just explain why do you think you are fit to be a board member of the NDA?
Okay, thank you, Chair. First is, I think as a board member for the NDA, the NDA is an organization that supposedly takes care of the historically disadvantaged individuals. And as a board member, why I think I will be picked as a board member first is because from the current role that I'm coming in from would allow me to look at the situation objectively, and it would also allow me to serve the historically disadvantaged, the working class, and the poor. Now, in my current experience that I will be bringing in, which is why I think I would be a good candidate, is the experience I have is experience that I have accumulated over a number of years dealing with the working class and the poor primarily. I hope that answers the question.
Members, Honorable Mamorosa,
yeah. Yes. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Mr. Kai. My name is Story Muruka. Yeah, and I'm a member of the African National Conference. You know, I can see here that your current position, that of the trade union. And from what I know, the money comes to NDA. In developing small commercial media and also looking at the marginalized community of which you have just mentioned. I just want to know from you what in particular do you think the NDA is doing specifically for the area that you are working in now? The municipality. And is there a specific thing that you think should be reviewed in terms of the Act? Maybe that is a bottleneck to what the NDA is doing right at the moment. Maybe also just to venture on maybe the transformation of the media, the mainstream media, at this moment in terms of representation, racial, gender, and women and disabled people. Maybe you can tell us also what is your view on the content of how the present NDA contributes to transforming the content of the print media expression. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Honorable. I think I'll try to respond to all of the questions. I hope I captured them correctly. Firstly, I do ask about the NDA Act and the renewal of it, and in my opinion, what needs to be reviewed. I think it's important to also mention that the NDA's mandate perhaps needs to be reviewed. Although the NDA, in my honest opinion, is doing a good job, I think there certainly is much more work that needs to be done. All of us would admit that in the media there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Starting on the transformation of the media is evident on a daily basis that the media hasn't transformed much, especially with the print media. We all know that the print media has not transformed much apart from other media, apart from different media, broadcasting media has transformed the world, but not enough. And in my honest opinion, I think a lot more transformation needs to take place, and the NVDA is quite strategically positioned to influence and bring about such change. Apart from just parachuting funding to community media and small commercial media, it is also, I think, within the mandate of the NVDA to make sure that these organizations have capacity, and also these organizations are given the opportunity to be self-sustainable. It's all good enough to parachute funding and to build capacity, but if these organizations are not self-sustainable as in community media, then the challenges are still existing in terms of transforming the media. And then in connection with the content, in my view, the content is the biggest problem with mainstream content. Mainstream content is not representing the working class of this country, it's not representing the views of the poor of this country. So in my opinion, the print media specifically needs drastic changes, something needs to happen. And even though the NVDA has made great progress and has tried to reverse the trend of ownership in media, I think there's still a lot that needs to be done. A lot needs to be done in terms of the print media, in terms of broadcasting media. We are not giving an opportunity to our working class, we are not empowering the working class and the poor to be able to participate in these media, to be able to become or to take up some sort of ownership in this media. Thank you, Honorable. Thank you, Chair. I hope I answered the question correctly.
Before my life was so honorable, Ballinger, I'm just told that we got a new member, which she would be working the place of Romel in terms of assisting Comrade Honorable Selma. And her name is Michelle Lomas. Michelle Lombard will be assisting Honorable Lombard. I'm sure other members will subscribe to what we are doing. So, meantime, we'll take you to Michelle. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Chairperson,
for that statement. My name is Ethan Abad from the Democratic Alliance. You've mentioned a lot of stuff I wanted to ask now about the transformation of the media and everything. But now, if we always have to wait for something to happen before we can even do something, then years and years will gone by and we've done nothing. Listening to your explanation of the transformation of the media and access to the working class and poor people to the media and ownership and everything, but still, the NVDA has got a lot of work to do now. If we wait for all the other things to happen, maybe it will never happen, we can't say that, and the main task of the NVDA is not being fulfilled. But as you, for instance, if you are selected to be on this board, what do you see as your immediate task to change something, and then the people on the ground can feel there's a difference. What difference can you make? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Gold. I'll try and answer this question. I think the NVDA needs to do serious work now, not later, as you correctly pointed out. I think, firstly, I would like to touch upon the mandate of the NVDA. Like I said earlier, I think the mandate of the NVDA perhaps needs to be reviewed. We need to ask ourselves this critical question. The mandate of the NVDA, is it currently serving the purpose that it ought to be serving? And I think an important aspect that should form part of the NVDA that would enable the NVDA's work to be immediate and to change it immediate is that it is self-empowering people as well. Entire sectors of the communities which have been historically disadvantaged need to be empowered. I'll just give you a quick example of what I mean. Now, in terms of empowering individuals and communities, I think it's important to empower them to access information, because if they cannot access information, how do we expect them to participate in the media? Since the NVDA says that historically disadvantaged individuals should gain access to the media, should have ownership and control of the media. But if we have large sections of the community in our country that are not empowered, that do not have the means, that do not have communication, that do not have information, then how do we expect for our communities and historically disadvantaged individuals to take ownership and to participate in the media? We all know to participate in the media you have to have at least some sort of access to information. And I think that an immediate step forward for the MPDA to make great progress, it would be also to empower individuals, and to empower individuals to gain access to the new media. Penetration of the internet in South Africa is so poor, and if the MPDA expands on its mandate to deal with such things like this, then we can begin to empower individuals, and we can begin to empower communities to eventually take ownership and control of the media. It's quite a serious problem, and apart from what I've mentioned, which is my honest opinion, I think there are many other things that the MPDA can do. Not that the MPDA is not doing any good work, the MPDA has funded more than 300 projects, which I think is brilliant. But the MPDA's mandate needs to be extended in one way or another, and all it needs to be reviewed. Apart from just parachuting funding, we need to look at other aspects, the MPDA needs to look at other aspects in which it can begin to empower communities. Historically disadvantaged, which is claimed to be a part of its mandate, then we can begin to address these problems. I must also address these problems are no small problems. We cannot be dealt with tomorrow, it cannot be dealt with next week, but it will take decisive action to combat and make sure we transform in one way or another. But although I like to hope that the MPDA, with my participation or without my participation, can bring about real change and can bring about such change now, but the challenge is great. Thank you.
You see, the question was, I understand your broader focus in terms of going to the future and so on, but if you have to be appointed now under the condition of the current legislation. So the question was, what exactly can you bring to MPDA, or what do you think you can do within the current? But we appreciate your focus within the speech. That was not maybe this question, but if you are appointed now, what do you think? I know that's one question, but you will answer it after a second question.
Thanks, Captain. The name is Mustafa Gandhi from the IFP. Chairperson has partially covered me with the first question, because that's what I wanted to emphasize, to say that Mr. Fema is presenting himself here for the interview within the confines of the existing structure of the MPDA. What do you think can be achieved within the present format? The second question is, I look at your CV, I see that you have a formal training in journalism, and that also you are working in the labor sector. Now, in that particular sector, what do you think are the crime needs that need to be satisfied if you were to be considered for this position? What would you think your forte, your particular focus that you bring on board in taking forward the work of the MPDA?
Okay, thank you. I'm probably going to answer the chairperson's question first, which I believe I did not cover adequately. People wanted to know what can I bring to the MPDA, or what can I do, what will I do. If I was appointed to the MPDA, I would immediately review the terms of reference to find small commercial media and community media. Apart from that, I would most definitely look into, apart from the findings, I would most definitely look into how these community media are funded, what's the process that goes on, and how are we making these commercial and community media sustainable. I have come from a background of community media, and I understand the challenges that community media faces. And one of the challenges which I brought up earlier is that it's simply not sustainable. And I would like to know, if I'm part of the MPDA, I would like to change the way that operates, and I would like to make community media sustainable for themselves. so that they can start generating income for themselves. It all good and well to manage the funds for these organizations, but how are we making it sustainable? That's the question that I would deal with, and that would be the area of focus I would like to bring Shannon tomorrow. If I can answer the second question from the book, I think it was in connection, if I understand the question correctly, is from the labor movement, the perspective I am coming from, what a decline needs in the labor sector. If I understand the question correctly, that's what it is asking about. In the labor sector, quite honestly, we're dealing with the working class and the poor communities. All the challenges that face the working class in general in South Africa, and media is one of these aspects which the working class has to deal with. So in connection with the labor sector and the client needs the labor sector is facing, firstly, I would like to make mention that the media is not one of the client needs, as you put it, for the labor sector at this current moment. We are currently fighting a decent living wage for all our workers in the municipal sector. I think it's also important, for us to continue to educate the labor movement. And there's currently very diverse and discussions taking place, around the media, ownership and control of the media, especially now that the proposed protection of information board has come up, the proposed media appeals tribunal. So the labor movement is discussing the entire structure, the trends of ownership and control of the media, and the labor movement has vowed and has taken very progressive resolutions to help out and to make sure that the concentration of the media, especially in the print sector, is broken down. Because quite honestly, the labor sector is of the opinion that the working class is not adequately represented in the mainstream media. This is a concern not only for the labor movement, it's a concern for every single South African. We need to start taking charge of the media and we need to transform it, whether we do it via the MDA, whether we do it via the labor movement, or whether we do it as individuals. The media needs to be transformed. It's a crying need of every South African future for. Thank you.
Thank you. I would just like to make one brief comment at the outset and just say I would like Mr. Sema to also just give us an indication of the how he wants to do things, not only the what needs to be done. But can I just ask him, does he first analyze reports, annual reports of the NDDA? Can you tell us what exactly has the NDDA done, and which of those sort of media, community media institutions have fallen away as a result of lack of support and lack of capacity building? Can you please tell us in more specific where were the blockages or the failures of the NDDA? And secondly, what specifically in the Act? I tell you that he's also studying the Act thoroughly. What specific section of the Act would you like to have amended in order to give the NDDA a correct mandate? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable. Firstly, in connection with how I want things done or how I would like things done, in connection with the NDDA's annual report, I've been doing the annual report. I've also worked with the CEO of the NDDA at COSATU as the part of the media component. And having discussed with him and gone through the annual report, I think there are challenges that the NDDA are facing. How I want things done is, I think I've touched upon it, although I'll try to expand a little bit more in terms of how I want things done. I think, to be quite honest with you, the NDDA is not doing a bad job. I don't want to overhaul the entire NDDA, but I think there are certain key areas in which the NDDA can review and re-strategize in terms of helping the historically disadvantaged individuals, small commercial media and community media. In terms of the annual report, it's not that easy to pick up the fatal flaws of the NDDA or where the NDDA is going wrong or where there want to be going, I can tell you, but it will be very difficult for me to pinpoint exactly the bottlenecks of the MDDA as a, even though I have an understanding of the MDDA, it would be very difficult to tell you or to go into more specifics than what I already made mention of. I think one other aspect, if I can expand on, which I think you would want me to, in terms of the MDDA and its functioning, I think the MDDA needs improved capacity as well. The MDDA with its 22 member staff complement is doing a good job, but they also, I mean, positions internally that need to be fulfilled. Also, the MDDA's budget, I mean, the MDDA is exhausting all of its budget, and if it had more budget, it would be able to do a lot more. So, I think those are some of the bottlenecks which I think need to be looked at seriously. The funding of the MDDA as well as its internal capacity. Apart from that, I hope this is what you wanted me to expand on. Apart from that, like I mentioned, it's very difficult to tell you from the annual report what are some of the bottlenecks. You know, that the specifics of the bottlenecks that I would like to tackle. And in terms of how the MDDA is operating, I'd like to just reiterate, I think it is operating, given its budget, given its staff complement, I think it's doing a good job. But like I mentioned, I think I did in fact touch on some of the bottlenecks and some of the things that I would like to do. And I hope that answers the question. Thank you.
Before I take the last question, you see, earlier when you were responding to the question asked by Honorable Renton, you talk about the reviewing the current funding process of MDDA. Now, one would assume that you make such comments because you have noticed that the funding wrong. What is wrong with the current process of funding of MDDA? That's very because you have the review of that process. Why do you want to review that process? What's the problem with the current funding process of MDDA? But to respond after Honorable Mangadi has asked that question.
How are you, sir? In your delivery issue, one of the issues that you think what needs to be done or what should happen to the agency. One of the things you talk about is the meaning of the money. And this is with me because they also mentioned that there is a serious problem with the content. In this country, which in a way is that we must talk to the issue of the working class. Now, what I want to understand was when it content for the meaning of the of in your part, what area or which area is the content that you think it does not get a space
we have those issues, but they can really directly, you know, find the expression within that project. I don't know whether I am expressing myself clearly. Because when you talk about reviewing the mandate of the NDA, we need also to bear in mind that the NDA, although I can say this thing, it has been there for some time. But the core that the MCA, the agency is dealing with, those are transformational issues and historical imperatives. So, in our deliberation, I also wonder to also touch, you know, on project. Being that, of course, bear in mind that we've also talked about the funding, you know, of the agency. So taking into consideration all that, what you know, take in terms of working class issues, finding it, to be communicated through.
Okay, thank you, Uncle Willie. If I can answer the second question first, why do I want to define these reviews? I think it's important, Eliza has mentioned, but I'll expand a little bit more on it when I talked about parachuting funds to the small commercial media and community media. What I was trying to get at is that what we need to do, apart from just funding, is to create a sustainable environment for these community and commercial media to sustain themselves adequately and for them to continue once the funding is not given by the NDDA. I think ideally what we would want to do is create a situation not where the community and commercial media become dependent on funding, but where they can become sustainable as a means of that funding. And that is why I think the funding question is important. And I also mentioned in terms of reference of the funding, on what basis is the funding given, what are some of the prerequisites of the funding, how are we identifying the poor and the working class communities that need greater access to the media, and what are we doing about it. I think that's where my concern comes about in relation to the funding. Not to say that there is something chronically wrong with the funding that's been given or something chronically wrong with the terms of reference used to give out funding, but I think it's an important question that needs to be looked at. Simply because coming with my experience from the community media, I know how important it is to create a sustainable community media. Most of the community media in our country are not sustainable, and that's why they're not surviving, that's why they're not present, that's why they're not bringing up or taking up the interests of their communities. It's because community radio, community newspapers, and the like are just not sustainable. They pop up in one part of the community one day and then the next day they're gone. So that's why I stress such importance on the funding, and that is why I have raised it is important to make sure that these organizations are sustainable apart from having to give money to them. I hope that answers that question. In relation to
Mr. Before you continue, you see one of the students, one of the questions he asked about you being general about the economy. So you see, if you are talking about that purpose of funding and budgeting, and that's interesting to know because some of the people have already said, one of
the problem is that if you need to fund that project, but those small community projects, they still have to print. And when they have to print, they go to the income for printing, where the same money would have been allocated to help develop their business be used from the same. Now, when you talk about this, that's why I'm interested to know exactly, because you see, whether you change the funding, but the question is what then, if after all, they are going to pay from the same people, where the prices are too high in RSM. So, but practical, what are you talking about when you say you're going to do that? Don't you think that? That's practical, take the sense, and how can you, not say that on this
Okay, so if I can answer that. In terms of being more practical and not so general, I think one thing that can be done, the example which the person raised in connection with the printing and the printing costs and how it affects small community newspapers, I think what would be important is to be practical with the NDA can really look at and study what can be done to improve the situation. For example, if you take pooling resources for community media to print at a central point, which would allow them to print at a much less cost, then the NDA must look at that. They must look at the challenges that the small commercial and community media are facing, apart from just the funding. If that is a challenge, and I know for a fact that it's a challenge, the printing cost to community media, then the NDA must commission a research study to see what's the feasibility to produce or to start up a small printing unit where 5, 6, 10 community newspapers can pool resources and do something like this. I hope that's more focused and practical enough. If I can just continue, I think there is a second question that was posed to myself that was from the Honourable in connection with finding a space to communicate content was mandate. I mean, finding a space to communicate or finding a space to represent the views of the poor and the working class is not an easy thing. I myself deal with media on a daily basis and I deal primarily with workers' issues. And it's a struggle for me on a daily basis to get workers' issues and poor communities' issues into the mainstream press. But it's a struggle that we have to continue to fight. But in connection with finding a space, it's difficult to find a space. The moment we put a political spin on something, then we get newspaper coverage throughout the country. But nevertheless, we have to continue to fight to find that space. And the only way we can find this space is if we begin to create this space by ourselves. And this is for the NDA. The NDA can start creating this space, make sure that there's a whole host of role players in the media industry, whether it be commercial, provincial, or national newspapers. But if there is a provincial newspaper, or if there is a newspaper in every municipal district, then that municipal district will cover a story of the local municipalities, housing laws, or labor laws. I mean, these issues will be picked up. So, apart from just finding the space, we need to create the space, and I think this is a question for the NDA. It's a question that goes beyond the individual, but it's a question that the NDA ought to deal with. It ought to deal with finding the space to communicate. If the space is not yet in the end, then you must commission a research yet again to find out if it's feasible to bring about a newspaper, to find a newspaper, to build it, to build capacity to write these newspapers, and then we have a space to communicate. But if we just complain about the current media landscape and if we don't do anything, and I think it's an individual responsibility as well, it goes way ahead of the NDA. Individuals need to do this as well. If we have these spaces of communication, we will be able to communicate workers' issues and the poor and economically disadvantaged community stories. Apart from that, it's also a language. There's a language barrier that we are facing. We have newspapers in this country that communicate in English, and that means no problem. Why are we communicating in English when we have different official languages? So those people who may have access to the media can't. They may have a newspaper, they may have a local community television station, but is this community radio or television station communicating in their local language? If it's not, then it's a serious problem. Is the NDA, this is a critical question the NDA needs to ask itself time and time again. I'm not saying it needs to deconstruct its mandate, I'm saying it needs to review its mandate. Its mandate is correct, it's looking after the interest. It's a very noble mandate,
one of the only agencies that has such a noble mandate in connection with the media spectrum. But what needs to be done is that the MCDA needs to ask these critical questions. Are we communicating in these communities in the language of these people? If not, then the MCDA must step in, and they must, apart from the strategic funding, they must make sure that they meet with these community media, they understand the challenges. And I'm not saying that they're not doing meeting and they're not understanding the challenges, but for me, if I become board member, these are the critical questions I will ask. I hope that answers the question, and I hope I will answer the question.
These are very close, more questions than answers. By looking at the hands that are coming up, I would say whoever is going to then follow the arising out of your response. You've been repeating the issue of carrying upon the parachuting of funds into the community media organization. But earlier on, you also pointed out that one of your focus areas would be to ensure that these community media organizations reach a level of sustainability. How do you think the MCA is able to do this? What particular contribution do you bring on board to ensure that that outcome?
To say that as one critical issue in answering that question, I'm so aware how MDA is being funded, the funding model. Because one is whether at the current funding model, MDA can be able to achieve all these noble ideas. Wherefore, funding will go and lay down in bed. The same mainstream free media to give you money to fund the development and transformation and so on. I think that's one thing we just want to get your view around it, because MDA actually cannot have the budget. They go to the free media, which is voluntary anyway. There's no legislation involved there. They voluntarily request from the youth as they need and so on. Now that's one aspect we need to deal with. And in terms of what the Honourable will have done the other day, maybe we can also take an experience before we can respond. Honourable.
Thank you, Chair. I also just wanted to ask him, because he's a young man who's recently studied communication. Just the relevance of print media. If we look at Twitter, and if we look at all new media, what's the relevance of print media, which is largely even major newspapers are being read off the internet at present. So, what is the relevance? And if we talk transformation, is it not also a notion of talking transformation of the electronic communication sector as we stand today, and to what extent can we contribute to that effect? Because I'm concerned that we are stuck in the print houses, etc., focusing there. How are we going to, the essence of it is, how do we bridge the knowledge gap and the communication gap? And it's the new media, not the route to go.
In the organization.
the one that concerns that. Although the MDBA is a small organization, but we would also need some certain expertise in terms of this thing. Yes, in some instances, we will have this thing. But what you imagine is that those who have expertise within the organization, they are leading the organization. They are being told by the community. Now, in this instance, my question to you, if you were to be appointed in the board, what will you do to make sure that you retain those things so that the organization actually continues to have those things? We don't do that. That is a good question to be said, sorry.
Respond to the people that people were born before technology, and those who are born with technology. So, you can respond there and we can.
Okay, thank you, Professor. I think there's a few questions here. I'll try and answer all of them to the best of my ability. Let's start with the first one. How can I begin to make the community and commercial media we're speaking about sustainable? And I think I mentioned a few things that can be done, but there's a number of things that can be done. It's not just one approach that will solve this serious problem, but there's a number of things that can be done. To make a commercial media sustainable, you need to make sure it's generating income. But the challenge today for community media, community newspapers and so forth, they can't reduce their circulation figures because of the regulatory environment and so forth. And without it, they can't bring about, or they can't accept advertising. So we need to look at the regulatory environment as well. We need to lobby and we need to make sure that the regulatory environment is conducive to allowing community and commercial media, small commercial media, to be sustainable. We need to look at all these things, the regulations, the laws in place, what needs to be done, what lobbying needs to take place to ensure that these media are sustainable. I mean, it's not just simply a question of finding them and making sure you train the staff and then going away, but tomorrow they can't progress further than a community media because they don't have the means to do so. Also, in a lot of instances, the regulation plays a key role in terms of all of this. So it's not just, in my honest opinion, it's not just a single approach that will make community media sustainable. It's quite honestly a trial and error process because each community media has its own individual circumstances. They each have to be looked at from a different set of glasses, and only then can you begin to understand the challenges, and then you can begin to help them to become more sustainable. But I'll first speak to what I said. This is an important aspect. Commercial and small community media needs to be sustainable. This I think I'll speak by. And going on to the next question, which I think is a very important question, and I'm glad that it came up in connection with new media and its relevance. New media is extremely important, but unfortunately at this moment in time it's very difficult to think about new media in relation to poorer communities and the working class, simply because these communities, working class and the poor communities, don't have access to the internet. I mean, so this is something the MDA can look at. The MDA can perhaps make sure that they grant access to information via the internet to these communities. Putting aside giving them access to a local newspaper, wouldn't it be more honorable to give them access to information? Access to information which any democracy needs. If we start giving them access to information, like the honorable said, that if we give them access to information, they'll be able to get the newspaper online. But it still doesn't address the question of language. Are they able to interact with this online newspaper in this language? But nevertheless, I think new media is very important, and how we should be asking the simple question, how can we give access to new media or to the internet to our communities in this country with such a low internet penetration rate? There's a lot of work that needs to be done. We're not providing access of information. And shouldn't that be a key focus of the MDDA as well, apart from these other novel things that it is conducting and the work that it is doing? So I do really strongly that new media is something that should be looked at in relation to providing information to the communities we are talking about. The next question relating to the same question, print media is relevant. Print media is relevant and it will always be relevant. Although print media, the readership is on the decline, worldwide the readership is on the decline, that we cannot do much about. And it's on the decline simply because with the emergence of new media, there's a lot of people that are accessing new media, whether it be from the upper class, middle classes. I mean, there is a lot of people accessing new media. And print media, like I said, the statistics are available, the research is available, it is on the decline. However, it still is relevant. There are certain aspects and content that the print media is providing, which online media would never be able to provide. Going on to the last question, staff leaving the MDDA and how to retain staff. It would be very important to make mention that the staff of the MDDA is the driving engine of the MDDA. If the agency can't retain its staff, it's going to have serious problems. Putting aside all of the great and noble challenges that still lay ahead in transforming our media and the role the MDDA can play, but I'm kind of aware that if the MDDA can't retain staff, and this is where the MDDA board should start as a matter of urgency to make sure it can retain staff. Working in a labor environment, working with trade unionists, I can tell you almost instantaneously and off the cuff, to retain staff, you need to motivate staff. Motivate staff, you need to pay them a decent living wage. If you can't pay the staff, I'm not saying that the MDDA is not paying the staff a decent living wage, but I'm saying that off the cuff, from a labor perspective and from the perspective that I'm coming from, if you don't have a motivated staff and if you're not paying the staff a decent living wage, then this is a problem that you would not retain any staff. Coming from a community media, and I would like to share this perspective as well, the community media can't retain their staff as well. And they can't retain their staff because most of their staff use them as a stepping board and they get poached as well. So the situations are quite similar and it happens because their staff are not motivated. Their staff are not given the proper remuneration that they ought to be given. Did the MDDA board make sure that their staff are being paid market-related salaries? I mean, these are questions the MDDA board could have looked at, but these are the questions that I'm raising which would ensure that these staff members are retained. And for you to have a good complement of staff, you need to also spend money on it. And is there a budget in relation to this? Does the agency have enough money? Which brings me finally to the last point which was raised, I'm forgetting who had raised it exactly, but it was in connection, I think the chair spoke about it, it's in connection with receiving funding from primarily the print media. Now, I may be completely wrong and I may be missing the point, but if you ask me, I'll tell you, if the agency is receiving funding from the print media, it is not compromising itself. When it publishes the sense of ownership and control document, that document specifically said the concentration of the media lies in the hands of four organizations. Now, is that not a problem that the agency is receiving a large portion of funding from different media? I may be raising questions prematurely, but I think it's important that we discuss funding, where the funding is coming from. Why is the funding coming from primarily the different media? It should be coming primarily from the different media, but I see there's a problem. Would it not be compromising in the future the research work that the agency is producing? The sense of ownership and control document, I can almost tell you, off the cuff, was not knowing much about what implications the launch of that document had. I can tell you off the cuff that the media board, considering those four organizations, did not look at the document with a big smile on their face. And of course, more when the issue of funding the agency comes onto the table for discussion, would influence this discussion. I think it's an important area relating to funding as well.
Thank you very much for entertaining the members in this incredible alive throughout
again. Thank you very much, Dr. Chen. Thank you, Mr. Bart.
Yeah. Well, I was concerned about, we're supposed to be taking another session, but I'm just looking at the time in 1 o'clock now. One of the issues is that probably we might have to continue after so that they can be able to go and thank you for your lunch and then come back in the around and up to I've spoken to the majority party and requested that their numbers be available. I hope the same thing we can do with the CA open IC. But they were looking for starting at that public so that we can get the house and find the information so that we can go to another public. But there was also told that we must occupy our in the house so that when there is something they know where we are so that they can come and face us. That is one thing we will try to pull the tree out that we can move out of this conversation. Then the second is remember that in the session from MDDA around the issue of Sundance MDDA local media was very tense, which is happening Friday. I hope the invitation is facilitated because when you read the same press respondent, a lot of people. So remember who will be able to attend, they can respond so that the people that be able to arrange for members to receive them and so on. Then the last issue is the document that we get from our SAGC. You can go through that document. But there is one issue because if you look at the content of the document, it's what we'll be dealing with next week when we meet the content. But the one issue which has been raised there, which we need to look into, is the extension of the nomination period. Whether we can be able to do that. So my request would be that every break and so on, that is we need to look into that. So that if we have fixed the extension, that in case the administration so that they are able to do the necessary arrangements and process and so on. But I hope when we come then the party will be able to request around and start planning whether we can be extending any book or so for that is because they have told their members not to nominate people for the SSC board and so on. So we'll have to look around that. But with the matter we can finalize when we come back after that.
Then, I am tempted to propose that with the issue of the extension for the date of the nomination for the report, can we there, I am requesting, can we deal with that right now so that when we go out, we at least done with that issue, then we'll be left with another issue. And I think, given this platform here, I think from the energy side, we won't have a problem to extend the date of the nomination. Having received the letter that we have circulated when we see the context, because I have read it, and one of the issues said that the SOS, the SO or anything, but they are also complaining about the short time, the closing date of the office meeting. That means there is not enough time, you know, for different organizations to do nominations. Because I would assume that when we are going to nominate a person, we have to engage, you know, that person. And I also feel that at least all that one, we can really
Secretary, I certainly would like to second the proposal that we extend. It will make sure that that there is wider knowledge of the people with suitable skills that could make application or be nominated. I do believe that it's in the interest of the organisation. And since the FAS is an organisation that has a keen interest in the FABC as an institution, I think we should certainly accede to the request and postpone the deadline by 2 weeks. Thank you.
Chelsea, never mind the FAS. I think in general, we rushed it prematurely. And we did it because we understood that we would be interviewing them last week. And thankfully, we now not have to push ourselves to, you know, to that time today. And I think, you know, considering the importance of the SABC board, the extension is more than reasonable. And hopefully, not only SAS will submit more candidates, I think a whole lot of other groups will extend. But I do think it's important that some form of effort will then go out to say that we've extended it, because I know people have already put the statement for deadline. So we will have to just, you know, need to know that, you know, re-exercise that it's extended, but I think it's a very good idea.
So it will be the 26th extension. We're talking about the 26th extension. Okay. Last time what we did it was like the SABCCA, you know, in the form of the board and so on, is that we requested SABC to flag the address of the nation, and they did because they are for them. I'm not sure whether that arrangement can be done again, where SABC was flying the nomination and so on. But I think we'll be able to engage with SABC after we finalize exactly 10 times and so on, what time we attend the date and so on, so that means they can help us to that regard. With that member, I think we can attend for that. We need an answer. Yes, in the same way. Thank you.